friends. Welcome to yet another episode of What Page Are You On? It me, Bethany Rutter, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner.
It me, Alice Slater.
And we are in the flesh. We are in the same place at the same time, looking at each other from across the table. Isn't it so romantic?
It's so romantic. I literally couldn't be happier.
The sun is shining. We are together. What could possibly go wrong? Tell me about your life. Are you reading anything interesting you'd like to tell me about?
I'm actually right now, I'm between books. I'm in this horrible place where, so I always say, like, the best way to read as much as possible is to always vaguely know what you're going to reach for next. I did not do that. So it's been like a day and a half.
Wandering in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm. I've got an audiobook on the go. I'm re-listening, or I'm listening to the collector for the first time. I've read the physical book, but
Hjon Fowler's.
Oh my god, it's so good.
It is so good. I'd never read it before, and then I listened to it on audiobook, as we've discovered a different audiobook to the one you're listening to, maybe last year or the year before, and I loved it.
So the one I'm listening to, the collector has two different voices, a dude and a woman, and the woman is Cassie from Skins.
It is. That's how I knew that it wasn't one I had listened to a couple of years ago. I think this new one has superseded the edition that I listened to, which is now no longer available, but was very good.
What are you reading right now?
So I just started on the way here on the journey to you, The Killing Kind by Jane Casey, who I really like. I read a lot of her books. I just feel like when you want a reliable thriller, she is a good place to go. A lot of her books are in like a series, but this one is not. So I thought I need something to read on the overground. I didn't have space in my bag for a book because I was bringing a book to discuss with you. So I had to read something that was on my Kindle. This was the newest thing and I'm really enjoying it. I'm only like 12% through, but I'm vibing.
I think it shows like a real difference in how we move through the world, that you have a bag with space for one book.
Mm.
Whereas I feel a little bit stressed. I have one handbag that only fits one book at a push. And I always feel like I'm in the danger zone those days.
I guess you're not as excessively Kindled though as I am.
So I have the Kindle app on my telephone and I do imbibe in the occasional 99p purchase. Although what I do tend to do is I buy a lot of Kindle books of books that I've read and enjoyed when they're cheap. Because I find it really helpful to be able to, like, term search.
Yeah.
So I do always have plenty of reading material. It's not so much about running out of something to read. It's about procuring additional things to read. You never know when you meet up with someone and they return four books you lent them 3 years ago that you never thought you'd see again. Or you pass a Waterstones or a little independent bookshop and you nip in and, you know.
So you've got to have the bag space, the real estate.
The real estate, yeah, for procuring books on the fly. Also, I just got a text message from our friend of the pod, Liv Hooper, who has a YouTube channel called The Book Neck.
Yeah.
And she works as a bookseller, and she just served a customer who was looking at a copy of Bear and mentioned that it's because she heard it on a podcast.
Oh my god, was it this podcast?
It was this podcast.
Oh my god.
So if you are a book shopper who purchased a copy of Bear and
by Marianne Engel.
By Marianne Engel and then chatted to the bookseller about this podcast. Hello!
Do we know what branch Liv works at? Do we know Rob?
It's an indie. I can't remember which one it is though. In Exeter, I believe.
Cool. There can't be that many indie bookshops in Exeter. Or maybe there are. I don't know. I ain't been there. But that's so nice. Cool. So
Down to business.
So before we took our little week off, we did an episode where Alice, who knows and loves TikTok, chatted to me about why she loves BookTok. And maybe in the same spirit, we're going to do a little ep about something that I personally love. Alice is less invested in, but is still capable of chatting about. So in December, I read a book by Attica Locke for the first time, and since then I have read all of her books except for one. I am a confirmed fan.
Yeah, you've gone hard.
I've gone really hard. Yeah, she's my fave. I love her. So I was familiar with the concept of Attica Locke. I had heard the name. I occasionally go on this website called Crime Reads, which I find is like the absolute best website, the most interesting like place for content about crime and thriller writing. If you've never been on it, I would strongly recommend it. They get really interesting writers, do really interesting stuff. I think I was looking at, like, some article about, you know, the best thrillers of the 21st century or something. I can't even remember what the article was, but they mentioned her, and I was like, oh, yeah, I know this person, but I've never read anything. Didn't love the sound of the book, but was kind of intrigued. The book in question was Bluebird, Bluebird. And then I looked on my Kindle app and found there was one Attica Locke book on there, so I just read it. And that was called Blackwater Rising. And since then, yeah, I've read so much stuff. So we are going to chat a little bit about Attica Locke, who is my new fave.
I'm excited.
Thank you.
So I bumped, well, I did not bump into you. We went for a drink or dinner or something on a day that you had just picked up Bluebird, Bluebird, and another title. I forget which one. And I'm really particular with, like, my line level reading,
yeah,
you know? So I can usually tell within one page, right off the bat, if the writing's going to piss me off or not. So Bethany was like, she handed me Bluebird, Bluebird, and was like, just have a dip, I think it'll be to your liking. And it was to my liking. And also, I'm not saying that, like, my taste is, like, elevated. I just know what I like. I need writing that is textural and interesting. And I just, if it's too stripped back and functional, it's not going to do it for me. There are probably exceptions to that, but anyway. So, yeah, I bought Bluebird, Bluebird and The Cutting Season. And immediately felt like I was probably going to be in for a good time because Attica Locke, she writes, her book's all set in the Deep South. New Orleans is my favorite city. I have driven all over Louisiana. Well, I've driven over some of Louisiana. And I'm very loved that part of the world. So, like, immediately, in terms of atmosphere and setting, I knew I was going to be at least interested. You know, my little ears were pricked. Do you want to give us a little summary of Bluebird, Bluebird?
So, Bluebird, Bluebird and its sequel, which is called Heaven, My Home, which I will speak more on later, I'm sure, because it is my fave of hers, I think, are about a Black Texas Ranger called Darren Matthews. So the reason that he ends up involved in a case in Bluebird, Bluebird is that a Black man has been found dead and a white woman has also been found dead who apparently do not know each other in a very small East Texas town. And he goes to check it out, even though he has not been necessarily asked to. He just, his buddy in the FBI has mentioned to him that this has happened.
And sorry to interrupt, but they're not found. They're found separately.
They're found separately.
Different days.
Different time, different days, different places. But in such a small town, you wonder, you know, unrelated or not.
Bit of a coinkydink.
Yeah, bit of a strange coinkydink. So he goes uninvited to this small town in East Texas to look into it. And obviously this conflicts with the wishes of the local police, because Texas Rangers are more powerful and well-respected than the local sheriffs. And it also rubs the locals up the wrong way because most of them are white and racist. So it's just about him trying to investigate this double murder when nobody really wants him to.
Good summary.
Good summary from me.
So I didn't love Bluebird, Bluebird. Although I feel like I could still confidently recommend it to the right reader. And let me tell you for why.
I will let you tell me for why.
I generally don't like procedurals very much. And that is for several reasons, but mainly because I just tend to find that by their very nature, they're very pro-cop.
Mm.
And I don't know, I just politically, it doesn't always sit well with me. Like, the positioning of the police as the hero, it just doesn't really interest me. It doesn't speak to me. That's not to say that I have strong feelings. It's just that, yeah, it's just not something that I gravitate towards. And also tend to find they just intrigue me less.
Yeah.
But with this one, I was like, okay, Black Texas Ranger, like, this is a very different energy. Like, we'll go in with an open mind. And I did find the way that he moved through the world and his position in, position in the Rangers, position in the force.
Yeah.
Interesting. Loads there. Really interesting. My problem, though, is that I realized the reason why I dislike them isn't actually just that they're anti-cop. The reason why I dislike them is because they always follow a very similar path, which is essentially, like, you know, the resistance, it's like the hero's journey, resistance to the call,
Accepting the call.
Accepting the call. Brush with danger. There'll always be a moment when they get too close and there's an assassination attempt. They don't know what they were close to, but yeah, they know they got too close to something. And I just find hitting those notes brings an ennui out in me. Yeah. Like, it just, however much I enjoyed, and there was loads of that I really liked in this book. I loved the setting. I thought the characterization was great. The writing is flawless. I just felt that there wasn't really enough pushing me through the plot.
Yeah, it is different. You know, fundamentally, Bluebird, Bluebird, and Heaven My Home, the two books about this Black Texas Ranger, they are not like the kind of thrillers that we normally read. Yeah. Like, you and I both like psychological, domestic, noir, kind of like weird stuff is happening to someone.
Yep.
Something unpleasant is going on, don't know why. Whereas, like, we don't read a ton of books that are like somebody investigating a crime that has already happened and it's about finding out who done it and why. That is quite different to our normal vibe. But yeah, I think the reason that I do find these interesting, you know, tolerable, and then on top of that, like, really interesting, is her writing is so good. And I just find him as a character, as like a Black Texas Ranger, very interesting, because obviously, like, as is explained often in the book, like, Texas Rangers, really well respected, like, almost iconic status within Texas. But because he is Black and the areas he's operating in are often like rural white areas, it's almost this tension of like someone who should be like so powerful and well respected that even his position does not protect him from being like shot at, abused, called the N-word.
Well, the only thing that does protect him in theory is that his, because even within the force, even within the Rangers, he's still an outsider, but he is the nephew of a very highly regarded ex-late Ranger. Yeah. Which is kind of gives him a layer of protection within the Rangers.
Yeah, but then obviously when he's in like some small rural town that's full of racists, because a theme that is throughout this book is this, I assume, fictional group called the Aryan Brotherhood of Texas.
I was just trying to, I'm flicking through the book really quietly trying to find what they were called.
Yeah, the ABT, the Aryan Brotherhood of Texas, which is this, unsurprisingly, white nationalist group operating in Texas, largely formed within prisons and then operating on the outside of prisons as well. So yeah, him being put in these situations where, you know, because in most procedurals, like, the police are powerful. Like, when you're watching like a film or a thriller or a horror film, like, the thing that you want to happen is for the police to turn up and to save the day. So for the hero to be the police, but then him being repeatedly in danger because he's Black, I find that like a really interesting, like, different vibe.
And also it means that he is inherently not safe and not trusted by, like, in this small town, but also in general in Texas. He isn't really trusted or treated with respect by the white townspeople. But also, Black communities are also suspicious of outsiders. For most of this book, he's investigating this investigation kind of on the sly. It's a while before he reveals, because he's not meant to be. He's explicitly been told not to, so he's trying to keep a low profile. But even, like, as a Black man in this bar, which is mostly frequented by, like, Black locals, they don't trust him as a stranger. He's not really
neither one of them either. Nor as a fellow traveller. Like,
exactly,
he is not accepted because he is an outsider. Yeah, so I just find that even though it's not the kind of book I normally read, there is so much that I find, like, stimulating about these books that I'm like, that's why I've just kept reading them. So I do think that because you are not a fan of the procedural, I think you would like Cutting Season more. Also, it is set on a plantation in Louisiana, which is more your part of the world. Not plantations, but Louisiana. Which is not from the point of view of a cop. It is from the point of view of a woman that lives, that kind of manages a plantation as a tourist attraction, like a Black woman who lives on the plantation, whose family had been slaves on the plantation that she now lives in and manages as a tourist attraction. And a body is found on the premises. And it's just about her experience of, like, it becoming very important that she solves the crime for various reasons.
That sounds more like my kind of speed. And I did purchase that book. I hope to read it for this episode. But I just found the other thing with Bluebird, Bluebird, is that for a thriller, I think It is. The writing is very dense, mm-hmm. as in, like, physically on the page. It's a very small font. It took me quite a long time. It's much longer than it looks, I guess, yeah. is what I'm saying. It took me a long time to get through it. And the cutting season is, like, double the length.
Is it?
Yeah, look at the size of it. I don't know how big the font is, actually, but it's still... It's Serpent's Tale, so I'm expecting it to be a similar layout. And I was just like, I am not going to get it finished before the episode. And...
Yeah, what's the point?
So what's the point?
Yeah.
No. But then I feel like then I've just dithered instead and not read anything. So basically, I am the fool in this situation.
You are the joker, the jester, the fool. But yeah, I loved Cutting Season. I like Bluebird, Bluebird a lot. I find it very interesting that that's the one that seems to have like captured people's imagination.
Because it won. It's won 2 different awards the year it came out.
Would you like to read the awards?
Yes. It won the Edgar Award for Best Novel. I'm not familiar with the Edgar Awards. But it also won the CWA Ian Fleming Steel Dagger
That's Award. Big.
That's a biggie. So that's very cool. And yeah, part of a series. So there's a second one. Presumably she will continue writing.
I do hope so. Because there is something that happens right at the beginning of Bluebird, Bluebird that reappears at the end of Bluebird, Bluebird, which is the Texas Ranger has got himself tangled up in a crime. And the consequences of that continue into Heaven My Home, and I assume will continue beyond the end of Heaven My Home. So there is this other thread of catastrophe and trauma hanging over him all the time because of this thing that has happened at the beginning of Bluebird, Bluebird. But yeah, I find it very interesting that that's the one that seems to have, like, you know, that was the one that was mentioned in this Crime Reads article. That's the one I feel like I've heard of the most. But I thought that the second one, which is called Heaven My Home, was so good. Like, it's truly my fave, one of my favourite books I've read in ages. I listened to it on audiobook. It was great.
I was about to say, well, I guess the first one... I mean, I think I have, like, 2 theories. First of all, I'd imagine that the first one... I was going to say, like, the first in the series is going to have caused the biggest splash, but then I feel like Silence of the Lambs obviously caused a bigger splash than Red Dragon, so maybe that's null and void. Secondly, though, I guess, like, the thing with Bluebird, Bluebird is I can think of other black crime writers. I can't think of any other black crime writers who are writing procedural style, even though I'm not sure if you can technically call this procedural, because he's not...
He's so outside of... He's always working almost alone. Like, he's not in the kind of police apparatus of, like, you've got to remember who is his partner
exactly,
is. You have to remember who's above him. You know, you just
you're
don't
not
really
dug into the system in the same way. And I feel like in that regard, it must... And this, bear in mind, it came out in 2018. So it's not like, you know, this is a fucking 1990s book. It only came out a few years ago. And it still feels so fresh for having that... For looking at race and crime in that, like, through that lens in this world, in this specific place as well. It obviously really spoke to crime readers in 2018, and I'm sure has continued to speak to people in that way.
So one of the interesting things about Heaven My Home, which is about a white boy who goes missing in the bayou of East Texas near the border with Louisiana, which is where a lot of this stuff takes place in these books. A white boy goes missing, and he is the son of a high-ranking Aryan Brotherhood of Texas dude who's currently in prison for murdering a black man. And somehow our hero Darren gets called to go to investigate the disappearance of this boy, and that is the story. And it's so good. Like, the writing, still beautiful, but the plot is just so, like, dense, intriguing. Because I do find that a lot of the time, you know, when you're reading, like, a kind of the kinds of thrillers that we normally read, your brain is working and you're trying to figure out what's going on. Whereas with these books, I do just accept that, like, I won't be able to figure out who's done it before I get told. Like, people's motivations are so kind of complicated and often not psychological. So I think that's the other thing that maybe means that, like, you did not necessarily bond with these in a way that you would with other thrillers, is that, like, the motivations are often not psychological. They're much more, like, prosaic.
Yeah.
They're much more just, like, this thing that has happened in my life, or, like, this thing, this legacy of stuff that has happened in the past. that has come, ended up in the present. And yeah, the way that that is involved in Heaven My Home is so fascinating. And yeah, I just find that, like, when I finish reading one of these books, I always want to, like, research something or look something up. Like, in Heaven My Home, there's this location, which is called Caddo Lake, which is where a lot of it kind of takes place. And the way they described it, I was like, how is this place real? I assume she's made it up. I looked it up, and it is literally the most, like, insane-looking place. It's so beautiful. Like, I've never seen a bayou before. I don't know about these lakes. It's so cool. And then, like, when I finish reading The Cutting Season is so fascinating about, obviously it's set on a plantation in the present day, but there is so much in it about the Reconstruction period of American history, which is obviously the period after the end of the Civil War, when the South was trying to rebuild itself in a new world post-slavery, and whether those kinds of rules had changed. The rules of engagement of human life in the South had fundamentally changed. And I found The Cutting Season so interesting and so stimulating that I have been listening to an audiobook about the Reconstruction by Henry Louis Gates Jr.
Oh my god, you are going deep in.
Yeah, I'm not just like a true nerd about Attica Locke. I'm now like a geography nerd. I'm a history nerd. She has changed me. She has fundamentally changed me as a person.
So I guess the next step is to book the trip to Louisiana.
Yes. Get me in a bayou.
Get you on a little boat down the bayou.
Get me on a steamboat.
Oh.
Me on a steamboat, can you imagine?
Listen, great big floppy hat. Audio book, earbuds in.
Massive cocktail.
Learning your history.
Yeah. Yeah, and I am just so into the way that almost all of her books are in some way about land and who owns it, who should own it, who lives on it, who should live on it and who should not live on it. And I find that is a really, like, thought-provoking thing to think about in general, but also in terms of, like, what that could motivate someone to do in the present day, and how the legacy of, like, land and ownership and humanity, as especially as it relates to, like, the American South. I find that a really rich theme that she is exploiting in a very, like, intelligent way.
Yeah, because she does create such a brilliant sense of place.
Yeah.
Even on a kind of micro level as well, like Bluebird, Bluebird, there's a bar that comes into play quite a lot with a trailer out back. And like, you just, these spaces are very real and very present.
And I find that's also the case with characters as well. Like, I've never read a line of her dialogue that I was like, no one would talk like that. And then there are characters that get introduced with like one sentence and I'm like, okay, I literally understand everything about this person.
Yeah.
Like just through that description. Like there's this one character in Bluebird, Bluebird who, he's not like the most remarkable, memorable character, but I think, is his name Wally, the white guy?
I want to say yes.
I think so. So the guy that owns the weird Jefferson house.
Yeah.
So the way that he's introduced about a description of his like ring and his boots or something, and I'm like, cool, I know exactly who this person is.
And that's like, speaking as like an English gal, like these aren't people that you would bump into in your everyday life. Like, yeah, I think that's why like the kind of awards that she's won make a lot of sense. Like the books are so immersive on a, you know, kind of international level as well.
Yeah, her writing just goes so far beyond like functionality that it's so pleasurable to read. And I find that you don't often, you know, obviously we know this as gals who read a lot of thrillers, like functionality, completely fine. Like when it's plot driven, sometimes you just wanna get from A to B. And there are loads of great thrillers that we've read where that is the vibe of the writing, but it is really pleasurable to read something that's almost the complete reverse, where it's like, the writing is so dense and so kind of...
It has real like a literary kind of flavor to it, which I appreciate. I just wish I liked it more.
Yeah,
I'm excited to try The Cutting Season though. If I don't enjoy that one, then that will be the end of my journey with Attica Locke. I'm excited that you found a new fav though.
She is totally a new fav, and I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Well, I think the next book that you should read, so in my quest to decide what I wanted to read next, also in my quest as a TikToker,
which she is. Which, oh boy, she is.
We've gone on record about, we've discussed TikTok, but I'm absolutely wild about TikTok. But what I have noticed is, as I said previously, TikTok operates very differently to other book spaces online. And they, the audience is younger. They're not in the industry. They don't understand proofs. So it's not good to be posting about books that are not out for a long time, because people just get really frustrated with that. So I've arranged all my proofs in order of release, approximately, which meant that I was studying them all quite carefully to work out if they'd come out already or if they had dates printed on them. And I came across this book by Percival Everett, which is due out on the 17th of March. And I just felt like, looking at the back, I was like, Bethany is gonna love this. So it's described as a page turner that opens with a series of brutal murders in the rural town of Money, Mississippi. So it's a pair of detectives. They meet a bit of resistance from the local sheriff and his deputy, the coroner, and a string of racist white townsfolk.
Oh my god, this is my favorite book already.
So the murders present a puzzle. For each crime scene, there is two dead bodies. Whoever is reported dead, and then the body of a man who resembles Emmett Till, a young black boy who was lynched in the same town 65 years before.
Whoa.
So the detectives suspect that these are killings of retribution, and then they soon discover that eerily similar murders are taking place all over the country. So, like, it just sounds, like, a little bit more provocative and...
Intriguing.
Yeah, maybe, like, a little bit more kind of out there in terms of its plot. Also, what I find wild is that despite that description, there's a quote on the cover that says, Everett has mastered the movement between unspeakable terror and knockout comedy.
Oh.
Yeah. So I don't know if this book specifically is satirical, but yeah, it sounds very much like your kind of bag. So
this is called The Trees by Percival Everett, just in case we haven't said that already. So the, interestingly, when you said satirical and thinking about black authors writing black characters in crime, one of the maddest books I've ever read is called Mumbo Jumbo by Ishmael Reed. And I would have been thinking about it anyway, but I was also thinking about it because I saw a post recently about how when Mumbo Jumbo was first released, he put it out with only negative blurbs on the cover. So just anything that negative that a critic had said about Mumbo Jumbo went on the cover, which I think is very audacious. But that is truly like a really, it's not like an easy read, not in terms of the content, but just the style is so difficult. But I also got that from crime reads as well. So truly, if you are into like crime writing, but want maybe stuff you haven't heard of before, or just exploring issues or media that you don't feel like is covered elsewhere, crime reads, truly great. And follow them on Twitter as well, because they do link to their articles on there, so you don't even have to check it every day. I love crime reads. Have you ever been on crime reads?
I have not.
I think you would like it.
I'll have a little look.
Yeah,
have a look. See, because I do find, so I have actually found that I've really strayed from my thriller roots.
Same.
Despite the fact that I have a book coming out next year, which is
a thriller.
Essentially, yeah. It steps in that, it has a foot in that realm. Yeah, it's because I have been struggling to find books that are in that sweet spot.
Yeah.
But it's not just with thrillers, it's across the board. I feel like at some point in the last 5 years, like, the ways in which books are being presented has shifted, as it does every decade. Like, we know that, like, book covers are, like, style and, you know, it's always shifting. But I'm getting, it's more difficult to tell the difference, I think, superficially, between something which is leaning more towards, you know, winking at literary and leaning too far into that very functional commercial tone, which there's still a difference between a commercial tone, which is, I write in a commercial tone, you know, that's readable and interesting and fun, and that is outright just very dull writing.
Yeah.
And I cannot stand dull writing. It's the biggest crime to me. You could have the most interesting plot. If the writing's really boring, then
you want to switch off.
I'm going to struggle.
Yeah.
So the only solution is to just read the first page of everything. And there's just so many thrillers. How do you do that? How do you do it?
Well, I would not feel ready to give up on contemporary thrillers until I had read all of the works of Katherine Ryan Howard, which I have now done.
But... You know, Katherine Ryan Howard is a brilliant example of an author who writes in a commercial tone, but the line level, the it's there. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just ticks that little box for me. Just going beyond functional, not leaning into pretentious, just having a real command of the English language.
So true. And God willing, we'll be speaking to her soon.
Yeah.
I hope it works out. I hope we get to chat to her, because I love her so much and I can't wait to tell her how much I love her.
I actually did start 56 Days on my Kindle late last night.
Oh, good.
I completely forgot about that. I probably started it too late. I was just dipping my toes in.
Yeah, come back to it when you're more awake.
But yeah, I'm really excited. Because what was the other one called? The Nothing Man?
Yeah.
Yeah. What a good time.
Great time.
Just a good time.
Yeah. I'm now fully up to date with all of my Katherine Ryan Howard thrillers. And I've got nowhere to go. Just got to wait for a new one to come out in August.
Feels like a lifetime away.
It does. But we'll get there. Well, my friends, thank you so much for joining us for this little ep.
And hopefully we are now going to be back on our regular schedule of weekly episodes with a bit of a schedule going of interviews, book clubs where we do spoilers, and then episodes like this where we don't do spoilers.
Yeah.
So our next episode is a book club episode. So you have 1 week to read the incredible Notes on an Execution by Danielle Kafka.
Which we did tell you about a couple of weeks ago. So you do have 1 week from today, but if you'd listened to the last episode, you would have had 3 weeks. So we're not just giving you 1 week's notice. We have given you 3 weeks' notice.
We're going to try and make sure we always give about a month. So
yeah.
Gorge.
Well, I would recommend you go out and buy some Attica Lock. Give it a go, see how you feel. And we'll see you next time.
Bye! Bye.